The Iowa legislature has passed a new budget, new income tax plan, and a number of changes that will impact most of the state's 3 million residents. We'll see how it could impact you on The Cities. Iowa lawmakers started meeting in January, but didn't really get to work on some issues until after Governor Kim Reynolds' condition of the state address. In it, she called for changes to area education agencies, which oversee much of the state's special education programs, continued moves to lower the state's income tax rate, really with a goal to totally eliminate the tax in the years ahead, and several other initiatives that the Republican governor hoped the Republican legislature would enact. And many of them did it. We sat down with Democratic State Senator Cindy Winkler and Republican State Representative Gary Moore to talk about the 2024 legislative session. Let's start with the budget bill that was passed, especially let me talk about income taxes to begin with. The governor has made it clear she wants to eliminate the income tax down the line. Mm-hmm. Legislative action this year is actually speeding up that process.
That's correct, Jim. First of all, thanks for having us here today. Iowa's in a great financial position. Not only did we fund a budget for next fiscal year of $8.91 billion to fund government, but we've got sufficient resources left over where we can speed up the tax cuts that we passed 2 years ago. So instead of going to a flat tax of 3.9% in 2026, we can go to 3.8% flat tax in 2025. Now, I'm not a real fan of doing away with income taxes completely, because somehow you got to fund government. But I'm very comfortable with the numbers, that the budget that we have and the income that we have, that we can do both this year. We can create the budget and reduce taxes down to the 3.8%.
And Senator Winkler, I mean, that's going to be something Republicans are going to campaign on. You know that. With lower taxes, it sounds great.
Right.
Democrats are saying you're not funding the programs that Iowans need. Is that going to work as a campaign slogan?
Well, you know, it's complicated, we know that. And certainly we listen to Iowans as well. We're concerned because individuals certainly want lower taxes, but they also want the services. And we've taken on two big ticket items at the state level. One, mental health, and the other, the vouchers. And those are both huge price tags. And we wanna make sure that we don't promise and then take it away. And the question is, with moving it faster, forward faster, and then taking on those two big ticket items, as well as the other responsibilities we have for state government, is it sustainable? And we'll see what happened this last legislative session, during the session, between December and March Revenue Estimating Conference. They reduced the revenue coming in, the projection of revenue. We haven't seen 4% revenue growth in a long time. We used to see that time, you know, period after period. We're seeing reduced revenue growth. Now, if we've reduced our taxes, sure, we should see it, but we need to see some stability, and the stability hasn't been here yet.
Representative Moore, you are the head of the Appropriations right. Committee for the House. So, I mean, right. I know that you have some great concerns with the voucher system, the school voucher mm-hmm. system, as well as some of these expenses. And mm-hmm. I think, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, is that you are keeping an eye mm-hmm. on what future revenues could be. And that is the concern that you have.
Right. Absolutely. And let me address Senator Winkler's comment. Yes, we're seeing a reduction in state revenue, but that was planned. Let me just give you a review of the revenue that we have in Iowa. This year, we'll end the year with a $2 billion cash on hand. In addition to that, we have another $1 billion in savings accounts. In addition to that, we have $3.76 billion in taxpayer relief funds. So we have essentially $6+ billion in savings accounts, and we have an annual budget of $8.91 billion. We feel very comfortable that we have available resources to fund a 4.2% increase in the government expenses next year, but also reduce people's income taxes a little sooner than what we had planned. The way we're going to do that is we're going to take part of that $2 billion, cash on hand at the end of the year, coupled with some of the taxpayer relief, the $3.7 billion, and fund that difference. That's how we can fund the government increases as well as increases in expenses and speeding up the tax cuts.
But critics are saying that there's portions of the Iowa public that are being abandoned, particularly mental health issues, which some critics say it's seriously underfunded. And it's almost like a ship that's not moored to anything. There's real concerns about that, as well as the increase in teacher pay that's mandated now, and a lot of the mandates for schools, but not a significant increase in school spending.
Well, if you take the 2.5% increase we funded K through 12 schools and couple that with the salary increases that we give for teachers, it's about a 5% increase for our K through 12 schools. I know many of our members say we're not spending enough, but we're increasing government expenditures 4.2% next fiscal year. I don't think the people of Iowa want to see their government grow faster than the rate of inflation. We feel a 4.2% increase in expenditures is sufficient government growth. We increased teacher salaries. We've increased mental health expenditures. The question always that I like to ask is, how much is enough? We increase funding every year for K through 12 students, education, universities, community colleges. I'm very comfortable with the amount of money that we spend based on our income. We think the people of Iowa are as well. They're very happy with the amount of money that we spend and are looking to, they want government funded, but they also want some of it back when we have $6 billion in the bank.
I think that we need to be honest about some of the things. Gary isn't dishonest about what is being spent, but it's where. The teacher funding bill, when you add that in, that went mainly to small rural districts. Our community, our teachers really did not get that bump because they were already offering those in salary dollars because they have to be competitive to Illinois and to other larger school districts. So it was necessary, but it isn't the same as everyone getting an increase in their teacher salary. The other thing that we haven't funded our Regent universities. Tuition continues to go up, which means that our families, our students are paying more. We could afford to do more with our Regent universities so that families feel the difference in that expenditure. The other thing, we have so many impaired waterways and we're doing nothing with water quality. And we can afford to do that, not overspend, but people expect us to have a quality of life, you know, with our outdoors, and we don't have that.
I want to bring up something that in December, when you were preparing for this legislative session, or for the first week of January, even when you were trudging off to Des Moines, at no point was a change in area education agencies on your radar. And it became the biggest issue, apparently, in Iowa. You're not really a big fan of what's passed. And you were telling me earlier that you don't think your constituents are a big fan either.
Well, let me say this, Jim. Education was my background, higher education. I've lived in Bettendorf 40-some years. The Mississippi Bend Area Education Agency is in Bettendorf. It's in my constituency. I have a lot of constituents who work there, a lot of parents who use the services. Of the hundreds and hundreds of emails that I got this session from back home, not one of them asked me to support the governor's AEA plan. Every one of them basically said, leave the AEAs alone. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't consider the AEAs a problem. I think they've done a wonderful job. And so when this issue came to the legislature, I thought to myself, I don't understand what's broken here with the AEAs. And so, no, I did not support the governor's AEA plan.
You're also not a fan of the school voucher program.
Right.
You were in opposition to that. You are a Republican.
That's right.
You have a governor that does twist arms
That's right.
in your party. Do you think education's being harmed? by your party in Iowa?
Well, let me say it this way, Jim. I'm 72 years old. No one can twist my arm. I'm going to do what I think my constituents want. And in Bettendorf and LeClaire, which is the district I represent, Riverdale, Pleasant Valley Township, I think there's strong support for public schools. Certainly we have parents that send their kids to private schools, and I'm all in favor of that. But my concern is in the long haul with the school educational savings accounts, now that we're paying the same for a child to go to a private school and a public school, sometime down the road, some future legislature is going to say, hey, if we're paying the same to educate kids in both sets of school systems, then the curriculum needs to be the same. There ought not be religious curriculum in one and not the other. There ought not be prayer in schools. At that point, we will have lost the uniqueness of private education. That's why I didn't support using tax dollars to support educational savings accounts and kids going to private schools. I'm all in favor of moms and dads and grandpas and churches and grandmas funding their kids to go to private school. But they send them there for a reason. It's a unique educational institution. I don't want to muddy the waters by mixing the two with tax dollars. And so at some point, we're going to end up funding all of them with tax dollars and then requiring all to be the same. I want there to be uniqueness in private education.
And what is the long-term impact, you think, of these bills?
Well, and I think the other thing, first of all, can we continue to support two different school systems? Because right now we do have two. We have one that has really no accountability. The money goes to them, and they don't have to be accountable for the same thing that our public schools have to be accountable for. Test scores, accepting all, the inclusiveness, the mandates that we have put on our public schools, not the same as what there are no mandates put on our private schools. That's why they're private. But they are now receiving public dollars. They're receiving taxpayer dollars. So the lack of accountability is also an issue. We don't know graduation rates, you know, we don't know necessarily reading levels. And I will say, having worked at the AEA, retired from the AEA, when we were doing the Iowa Core, they wanted their content in the core subjects to be the same, and they were included. They received services from our area education agency. They were just as concerned about the AEA cuts as public schools were. But the funding piece, the fact that all of the tax dollars, it'll be very close to $1 billion going to the private schools. And they have benefits, but they don't have any requirements for accountability, and that's a problem.
Another bill involving schools was arming teachers and trying to get rid of some of the liabilities that. And it's interesting because it comes on the wake of the shooting, a tragedy in Perry, where we lost a principal and a student. But other states have had school shootings have gone the other way and have done more gun restrictions. Seeing, I guess, more guns in schools, is that the answer?
Well, I supported the bill, Jim, because most people don't know current law in Iowa allows for teachers and people to have guns in schools. What this bill did was it requires if people are going to have guns, and the school board can decide to either allow their personnel to have guns or not. That's the first, it's a school board decision. Secondly, if they decide to do that, anyone having the gun is going to be required to have special training, ongoing training. We've got to do something differently because it doesn't seem to be stopping. Schools without guns have had mass murders in them. I'm willing to try something different because the first 10 minutes when somebody's in the school with a shotgun or with an automatic gun are the most critical. If everybody in that school, if no one in that school has guns, they're just sitting ducks, those poor kids. And so I'm willing to try this as long as there's training for the people who have the guns. The school board has to approve it. No teacher is going to be required to do this. It's totally up to them. But I'm willing to try it, and that's why I supported that bill.
You just think of Sandy Hook, and you think of Uvalde, and you wonder if somebody would have had a gun if something could have been could have happened sooner?
I think what we have, we do have some districts that through their school safety program, and that really is important that we support, give support to schools in providing the training around school safety. But they have firearm detection and alarm systems. And some school districts in Iowa have done that. And then with the firearm detection and alarm systems, things can happen once they detect a firearm on their school property. I think those are the kinds of systems that we should be supporting first. I do not believe that firearms belong in the building. And it's very hard once firearms are in the building to identify who the good people are and who the bad people are. And so I think that is something that we have to be very careful of. The firearms in schools, the bill that was passed in the legislature was not supported by the police and the security people, you know, the sheriffs and the police departments. They thought that was the wrong step to take. There were some pieces in the bill that supported the firearm detection and alarm systems. And you know, had that been the only thing in the bill, certainly I think you would have seen more unanimous support for that. But adding firearms in a school building isn't necessarily a safe thing to do.
Talk about some bills that didn't pass, and I think the biggest perhaps is the eminent domain issue. Once again, it did pass the House. It died in committee in the Senate. So eminent domain, particularly with the carbon pipelines, the carbon capture pipelines that we've heard, but a number of different pipelines that are crisscrossing Iowa. Would you have liked to have seen that pass? I mean, does that give added protection to Iowa farm families?
I think that the use of eminent domain for private purposes should not occur. I didn't have an opportunity to vote in committee or certainly on the floor, but I think that we have to be very careful when we give eminent domain for private purposes.
And this seems to be a bill that the governor doesn't necessarily support. I mean, if she supported it, it would have passed.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the governor's at on the bill. It passed handily in the House for essentially the same reasons that Senator Winkler talked about. For me personally, I don't represent a lot of farmers, but I came from a farm background as a kid, and property rights are unequaled in this state. People have to have the right to own property, and if they own the property, they ought to be able to control that. And so it's very simple for me, particularly for private benefit. We're not in a position to be granting eminent domain for private companies to increase their profits, no.
Another bill that the governor did support that didn't pass through the legislature, birth control without a prescription, failed. It seems to be the Republican answer to some of the abortion issues nationwide. Is there adequate protections for women who want to seek medical abortions in Iowa?
Well, on that particular bill, Jim, I would support that bill as well. But I do think, in addition to getting the contraceptives through the mail or whatever, the woman needs to go to her doctor periodically and make sure that everything's looks good, that she can take that medication. It's a combination of getting oral contraceptives through the mail or in the over-the-counter, but also they need to have contact with their medical professionals.
And the issue, of course, is going to come straight out of the Iowa Supreme Court any day now. What are your fears?
Well, I think that you know, we see it play out nationwide. And it's interesting, you know, that in both chambers, we had a constitutional amendment that would protect an individual's right for reproductive freedom, and it didn't have traction at all in the Iowa legislature, and that's unfortunate.
Do you fear for women's health and women's ability to make a choice in Iowa?
We've seen it play out time and time again, absolutely. And one of the things that is interesting, and I heard it come up in the argument before the Supreme Court, before the Iowa Supreme Court, is in 98, there was a tremendous effort to add women to the Constitution, to the preamble, for equal rights. It is different. Iowa is different in that sense, because we are represented in our Iowa Constitution in the preamble, where in the U.S. Constitution, women still do not have that same opportunity to have access to equality, and I would like to think that that makes a difference. We worked very hard. I was one of those that worked in getting it on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, and then working for the constitutional amendment.
As a Republican, and you said, I mean, you've been getting messages from your constituents on a number of issues. Where does abortion play as far as constituents contacting you as a Republican lawmaker?
I hear all sides of that issue, Jim, and have every year that I've been in the legislature for the last 8 years. I take into account what I hear from my constituents, but I also take into account my own personal values and that of my wife, my family. And so I'm very comfortable in my skin as far as where I'm at on the abortion issue. I'm pro-life. I think every child has a right to live. And we'll see what the Supreme Court decision is, and we'll deal with that after whatever the Iowa State Supreme Court comes out with as far as their position on that.
You are both very uniquely located, as we all are in the Quad Cities, where all you have to do is look across the river. And you see Republican domination in Iowa, and you see Democratic domination in Illinois. And I just wonder why two states are going in two different paths.
I don't know if I can answer that.
I know.
But what I can tell you is, in my own voting record, I'm not a hard and fast, I don't vote Republican on every bill just because it's a Republican position. My constituents have priorities, and what I want to do in my role in the legislature is to represent them. And so there's most of the time, probably 85% of the time, I vote Republican values because the bulk of my constituents are Republicans, and they have similar conservative values as I do. But there are times, like on the educational savings accounts or the AEAs, where I don't think my constituents are there. And so I'm not interested. If people want to send people to Des Moines to just vote the party line, they can send a monkey or they can send a robot. I don't think that's what they want. I think they want someone to go there and listen to the issues and represent them in Des Moines and vote with their party when it makes sense, but buck their party and their governor, if that makes sense as well. And I'm very comfortable in doing that.
But you look in Iowa where you see banning of some books. In Illinois, it's against the law to take books out of a library. I mean, it's the absolute opposite. You're seeing real crackdowns on automatic weapons in Illinois, which is, of course, in the courts right now. In Iowa, you're seeing arming of teachers. You're seeing two very different states. Are you comfortable with the direction that Iowa's going?
Yes, I'm very comfortable with the direction we're going. Different people have different opinions. And apparently, and you've just made the case, the people of Illinois are going a different direction than the people of Iowa. I might say that the last numbers that I've seen, the economy of Iowa is stronger than the economy of Illinois. Illinois is losing population. Iowa is growing in population. Our tax rate's going down. We're now going to be paying our teachers the fifth highest in the country. I'm very comfortable with where Iowa's headed and the priorities that we have compared to Illinois.
You see it as well. And the Democrats are kind of saying the sky is falling, yet you're not winning elections. So at least the voters in Iowa, seem satisfied with the direction it's going.
So a couple of things that I see. One thing is money in politics. And lots of what I would call dark money coming into Iowa. They see it as fertile ground. And for issues that, that, my opinion, aren't necessarily healthy, but a lot of people are paying lots of money to try it. And that's one piece. The other thing I see is our media market here. We're mostly Illinois. We're Illinois media market here in the Quad Cities, but most of Iowa is not. doesn't have Illinois as part of their media market. And so when you think about Iowa as a state, and you think about where the other media markets are, we don't get the same media here as we get as they get in Des Moines or they get in the Cedar Rapids area.
Do you think that Iowa is still a purple state?
No. I don't think it is, and I wish it was, but I think some of it, the guns polls, the guns in schools, it does poll fairly high. I think they don't understand the ramifications of that, maybe, I don't know behind that, but the reproductive choice also polls very high. As high as in some polls, up to 80% believe that abortion should be accessible.
How much of a factor do you think that's going to be in November?
I think it will be a factor in November. And I also think that the AEA piece will be a factor in November. Statewide, people were not supportive of what happened with that.
You were in education.
Yeah.
So let's give a letter grade to the 2024 Iowa legislative session. A to F, you've graded papers, you know.
You know, a lot of it kind of depends on whether or not you have kids in school, I would say. The business community might say, well, it looks pretty good for the tax piece. But if you're a middle class person, if you're a working class person, I'd say maybe you're looking at about a D.
Representative Moore?
I think it was an A. I think when we continue to stay in the majority, we're obviously doing what the people of Iowa want us to do. And as long as we do what the people of Iowa want us to do, we're going to stay in the majority. And so I think there's bills that didn't pass, there's bills that did pass, but all in all, I'm happy with it. I think it was an A session.
Our thanks to Democratic State Senator Cindy Winkler and Republican State Representative Gary Moore, both of Davenport. On the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Presley and Van Ho Funeral Homes have been serving Quad City families and veterans for over 100 years. Whelan Presley is located in Rock Island, Milan, Reynolds, and Van Ho in East Moline, proudly supporting WQPT.